give you everything. That's consistent with what is said in the Vedanta Sutra. It says, anavritti shabda, anavritti shabda. Sound will liberate you. Just like, similarly, as a man who's dreaming in a nightmare, he's lost in the dream world in a nightmare. He's horrified, he's in anxiety, so many things. Right? Maybe it's in Thailand, and he's dreaming that a Thai tiger is coming to devour him. By that, I don't mean a Thai woman, but I actually mean a tiger. I'm kidding. Or both. Could be a Thai woman on a Thai tiger. And he's like, ah! He's saying, but his friend starts calling his name, saying his name, and he's like, hearing that sound from the awakened person, there's a period where he's half in the dream world, half in the awake world, but once he's reminded through sound of his identity, he realizes, oh, this, the tiger, the Thai woman, this is a dream, a nightmare. I was thinking that was me and that was a real situation. It's not the real situation. My friend called my name, brought me to wakefulness. Now I understand. Now I'm a little embarrassed about that situation, but I'm also happy to be awake. And immediately upon awakening, I understand everything simultaneously. Who I am, oh, I'm late, I have to be somewhere. The spiritual world is like that. When you awaken to your spiritual identity, you realize, I'm late for lunch at Nanda Bhavan. I have to go there immediately, like Gopakumar. And I've got Krishna's flute. So many things come, and then you realize, oh, what I thought was the real world and my actual position, that's all a dream. So it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamritam. And say, dvaita, dvaita, badre, sabmanudharm, ebal, emanda, esabram. Saying, the world, like Guru Maharaj says, is an iceberg floating in the ocean of consciousness. The whole objective world is floating in consciousness. And so it said, so since that's all it is, saying, oh, this is good, that is bad, it's all a mistake. Like, how are you? Oh, I had a good dream or a bad dream. A dream is a dream. There's nothing substantial there, good dream or bad dream. Sometimes I have a good dream and go like, let me go back to sleep and bring it back. It won't come back. It's a dream. Right? There's a school in California called Berkeley, the University of California at Berkeley. And they have this one group of students. You know, students do some unusual things. So once a year, when the graduation time comes, there's this tradition where this one group, they march around the school and they sing this song, this children's song. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. And then comes the punchline. Life is just a dream. And then they all laugh. And that's their graduation day tradition, is to remind themselves. They go, this world, it's just a dream. Good or bad. So to put our emphasis and our energy there, that is not the way of a spiritually progressive person. So again, a spiritually progressive person, they're learning to see life and life circumstances and their identity also by hearing. Hearing of your reality potential. As Guru Maharaj says, reality is a thing plus its potential. What is our reality potential? Will it be realized through egocentric, exploitative culture? To establish myself as a center and then see how far I can increase the circumference of my exploitation And then I'll think, I'm a man. I did something with my life. I'm exploiting a whole group of people. That, life has to be more than that. Like the lion who has the, what do they call it? Their group has a weird name.
Pride.
What?
Pride.
Yeah, it's that name. They have a pride. One lion and he's got 12 female lions. I'm somebody. I could have been somebody. Right? He's a lion. And he's not lying. He's a lion. He's got his pride. Right? He's in charge. That's egocentrism. Then there's theocentrism. And we realize, oh, I'm not the absolute center. That's ridiculous. If I'm an absolute center, as humanists say, you mean then she's an absolute center? Everyone here is an absolute. How can that be? So the only absolute truth in humanism is that all things are relative. That's an absolute. That all things are relative. Right? As one of my friends was giving a lecture once, and some man objected, and he said, there's no such thing as right or wrong. And my friend said, is that right? What you just said, is that correct? You just said there's no such thing as right and wrong. Is that correct? These are games that people play. They're not even good games. These are not philosophical geniuses playing these games. But so the humanistic aphorism that all things are relative, I mean, there's no absolute, there's no God, there's no absolute standard to measure anything against. We talked about this the other day, pragmatism. Just what works for you and for me will work out a deal and live peacefully. It makes sense on a certain degree for secular life or life in the physical world. But when it comes to the metaphysical or the spiritual or the absolute, how shall we educate ourselves about that? How shall the finite become educated about the infinite? How shall the relative come to know the absolute? But by the grace of the absolute, Sri Guru and His grace, Srila Guru Maharaj said. The perfect making himself known to the imperfect. That's tenable. But that many imperfect will get together and share their imperfectly gathered observations about things and generate a perfect hasn't happened yet and isn't going to happen. But that the perfect, the absolute personality of Godhead, can reveal himself to you. There's some hope there, some prospect. That's the hope and prospect that guides and infuses a spiritually progressive person and makes their life interesting and exciting even to know that it's possible that I can have a personal relationship with divinity. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kono Rajan Indriyavan Mukunda Charanambujam Namajet Savarto Mrityur Upasham Amarottamai. Says there, Indriyavan means for those who have senses. He's saying, Sukadev, the speaker, he's saying, this is so exciting to have senses. And for those who have senses, to hear about the most beautiful person who's extraordinarily beautiful, kind, sweet, loving interaction, the sound of their name is unlimitedly sweet. If you are Indriyavan, if you've got senses, you'll want to hear about this. This gives some meaning and hope in your life other than the mundane use of these things that science would have us believe or secular humanism that is just meant for, you know, Dharma nahi ahara nidraya bhaya maitunam cha, eating, sleeping, reproduction, and protection, fence. So he's saying, to hear about the absolute personality of Godhead, what a wonderful thing, that God is a person, and I can have a personal relationship with Him. So Srila Govinda Maharaj, he liked to say at this time that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as we're telling Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Saying this is the transcendental sound vibration form of the Lord. Very mercifully, He's appearing in sound. And as we told in the beginning, that's the basis of all spiritual culture. Now, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev, only the most fortunate souls wandering the length and breadth of the universe, which means going through all the different life forms, planetary systems, karmic circumstances, fortunate souls come in connection with Bhakti Lata Bij, means the seed of love and affection, devotion to Krishna, and get the holy name of Krishna, Harinam, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, you have a bright future, inconceivably bright prospect, in the serving domain, not in the world of exploitation. In the world of exploitation, I give you my blessings, you will be an abject failure. That's my blessing to you. But that you'll be an utter success spiritually in the real world. Realize your reality potential as a servitor. Not an exploiting agent, but as a serving. Through dedication, love, devotion, dedication to Krishna and his devotees. It reminds me, what I just said, the humor of it, is Prabhupada, you may know the same where it says, Rajaputra Chiranjiva Muniputra Marova. It's saying, there was blessings being given to the son of a king, the son of a muni, and the brahmachari and yashin, different people. And they told that for the son of the king, they told, Chiranjiva, you should live forever. Why? Because you, with your sense indulgence and your life of exploitation, so many bad karmic reactions are going to come to you. It would be better if you just live forever and delay all of that. And the Muniputra, they're saying about the son that, I forget all of them, but the basic idea was that those who were, how do you say, well, in the Muniputra, they're saying, you should die immediately. So, because right now you're in a very pure position, so die before you do anything wrong. They're given to, like, you live forever, you die now, you know. But then for the devotees saying, whether you live or die, it doesn't matter. Because you're doing good things in Krishna consciousness, that's good. And if you die, you'll also go to Krishna. Your life is truly auspicious. That's the position of the devotee. Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashtana Bibhuti Swargapabharg Narakeshu Tulyartha Dartina Darshina. They're not concerned about going to a heavenly situation, hellish situation. They want to, do I have connection with Krishna consciousness? If I have that, everything will be okay. And by your good fortune, you've come in connection with Krishna and his devotees. And you have the Chinese god sisters who are very sweet and wonderful, loving, affectionate, kind, tolerant. Are you saying all those things? And humble. So the way Krishna consciousness works is you get it through devotees. So the most important thing is how you deal with devotees. The holy name will not reveal himself to you if you're not nice to the devotees and honor them. And because you understand, I think you understand, that you only have connection with Krishna consciousness through devotees. It's a mysterious thing. In other religions, sometimes people say, there's just me and God, or me, the Bible, and God, or something like that. Right? And maybe for them that's true. But for devotees, we say, what is God without the devotee? What is the Bible? What is the scripture without? I need the devotee. Through the devotee, I can understand something about God, Krishna. I can understand something about the book. I get everything from the devotee. So really, the devotee is everything to me. That's what I was speaking about last night. And interestingly, after we gave that talk, what we sang the song, as we always sing, of Narottam Thakur. And what does it say in the end? Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Guru Vaishnava. 2-3 times in the end of the song, it's saying how important is Guru and Vaishnava. We're Guru-centric, Vaishnava-centric, devotee-centric. There's egocentric, theocentric, but that our type of theocentricity or spiritual culture is focused on the devotee of Krishna. You think, the devotee of Krishna can give me Krishna substantially. On my own, who knows? Krishna is a very mysterious person at times. You can see by the way he looks, his tribhanga, yang shama sundaram tribhanga, lalitam, yata prakasham. The movements of Krishna are very unpredictable. We're told he's adbhutakram, he of wonderful step and stride. We never know what Krishna is going to do next. We just want to be part of it. Right? Whatever pleases him, and that we know through his devotees. So it's very important how we view the devotees. And then we hear there's so many gods and goddesses in India. Not only in India, but it seems like that's where they live most of the time. In India, they're everywhere. On the car, on the billboard, you know, Ma Durga, we were just, and you see, you know, Ganesh travels, and Durga Devi, and Ma Kali, and so many. And I think we discussed this the other night kind of extensively, that just to remember, not to equate them as being equal to Krishna. It's like wholesale, retail, Krishna, the source of whatever it is they have. But neither to dismiss them either. It's a very highly placed position to be a god or goddess in charge of some material function. It's a service, a seva given to them by Krishna. So we revere them and appreciate them in many ways. I like the goddess Saraswati, I have to admit it. I now admit it in a public meeting. She's like my favorite. She has a guitar. And she like blessing how you speak or sing. And she looks very beautiful too. And has always some swans and lotus flowers. And goddess of speech, of education. I just like her a lot. People have different gods they gravitate to. Her is of particular, you know, I don't know if it means anything or not, but I like her. But from Srila Govinda Maharaj, we learned like, he had like affection for the gods and goddesses. We started off a little fanatically avoiding them. We're devotees of Krishna. But Gurudev, he's like Jai Ma Kali, he liked Mahadev Shiva. And not just like, I mean, had like genuine love and affection for them. Sometimes if Gurudev was upset, and, you know, devotees around him, and he'd say, they can chant their Hare Krishna, but my Kali, my Ma Kali will come and smash them. You know, he's playing like that, and this shows like in the heart, in his heart, some love and affection for them, but he knows who is Krishna, who is Radharani, who is Guru Maharaj. Saraswati Thakur tells us that Durga Devi is a Brajagopi. So we just need sambandha gyan means, and you're very intelligent and very analytical by nature. That's why I expect you to try and learn all of these things. Whatever it is I have, and I want to transfer that to you. And we have so many wonderful devotees here. They know so many things. Not just know things, they have feelings that would be good to transfer also. Devotional feelings. But so we want to carefully consider everything. So the gods and goddesses, then guru, even though we see so many human symptoms in the guru, we have to see, no, God is dealing with me. Guru is his agency. Through the agency of guru, Krishna's dealing with me. personally. How fortunate I am. And he's Sarvadeva Mayoguru. Sarvadeva, all those gods and goddesses, they're also to be appreciated within my Gurudev. It's a very wonderful, mystical thing. I thank my lucky stars every day for my connection with the holy lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, and Srila Prabhupada. I still can't believe it. After, what is it, like 42, 43 years, that somehow by causeless good fortune, Bhagyawan, I got connection with their holy lotus feet. And I want you to have the same connection. That's my point. I was talking to this one boy. I'll say who it is. Sundar Gopal. We're in Italy. And he came to me and he's reading something on the internet about some Baba and Vrindavan. And I was a little disappointed. This is before he was initiated. So I just shut down. Whatever it is I have, I didn't feel inspired to give it to him. And just let him go. And then Krishna contacted him. Oh, he wants to speak to you again? I was like,
about what?
He says, well, he had, you know. And he came back and I was sitting, she has a picture of Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj and Gurudev on the wall. And I had no idea what I'm going to say to him. I'd lost interest in preaching to him. But suddenly, I heard words coming out of my mouth. That's all I can describe it like that. I heard myself saying certain things. I was a little surprised, and I said, do you know who I am? I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I said, do you know who I am? No, I don't know. And I said, I'm the person who can give you a connection with them. That's who I am. If you want to be connected with them, that I can do for you. But if you're not interested in having a connection with them, then you and I, we won't have a meaningful, deep, meaningful, intimate relationship. The reason I'm sitting here, you know, is because of them. It's to bring you in connection with them and their world, the guru world, where Guru Maharaj reminds us, everyone and everything there is guru, meaning worshipable. That's at the root of Asian respect that's all over the Asian world that the Western people object to. Why all the bowing? What's up with that? Right? It's a sign of respect, to respect everything and everyone. What to speak of those who are the most respectable? The Guru Varga. That's what Guru means. The Guru Varga. And to awaken that divine vision, it says, Guru Maharaj is saying, for one whose divine eye is awakened, they will see traces of divinity everywhere and in everything. Oh, that like some silly new age kind of thing? Or the lady in Calcutta, who is not so silly, but the old lady, Gurudev, she's going around giving her dandavats to stones, and they go, Didi, what are you doing? She said, one might be Shiva. That's like the Bengali, like, I'm not taking any chances, I worship everybody. That's okay too, on a certain, but that's not what I'm talking about. Awakening divine way of seeing through divine sound, allowing divine sound to enter your heart, mind, soul, consciousness, everything. Awaken to your new eyes and so you say, oh, I'm seeing divinity here, but not without discrimination. I see, oh, the type of divinity in the flower, I'm seeing on this level. And here's a flower-like personality, a lotus-like personality. There's a swan, and here's a swan-like man. There's a hamsa, there's a paramahamsa. To awaken to seeing divinity, but also in gradation. To understand, oh, here's the greatest magnitude of divine presence. And in my interest to get that, to offer myself, I want to associate with that, We're told the Vaishnava, like Sparsha money, means touchstone, but like philosopher's stone, meaning here touchstone means by coming in connection with, you become transformed. So, and that's where humility comes in. Guru Maharaj will tell us that iron, you know, iron, the base metal iron, saying iron will feel the necessity to move toward gold, the position of gold. He said silver, not so much. Silver's thinking, well, I'm already silver. So I guess gold's arguably better, but I'm already silver. Not feeling. But the humility of iron says, yeah, to become gold, then gold would be good for me. So Sanatana Goswami Prabhu says, yata kansanam jati kangshena, etc. He says, through initiation, base metal, like alchemy, you know alchemy, magical chemistry? He's saying through initiation, base metal can be transformed into gold. That's our idea. We want to be humble and say, who am I? I'm the low base metal, but these are the golden personalities. If I get their association, then I believe in them, not in myself, like a humanist. No, I believe in them. I have some faith in Krishna and his devotees, and by their continued association, I will improve. My position will improve. And I think that's what you've realized already. You see, just by continuing to associate with these devotees, and particularly here, Lilavati and Sulakshmi, they get some credit. You see, like, I'm getting better. Somehow, by interacting with them and these devotees here, the Russian devotees and the ones from the Ukraine and other places too. We don't give enough of the glories of the Ukrainian devotees, I think. I'm going to have to give a special talk about that. Maybe on my next visit to Kiev. I'll become very popular there. Because they'll go, we knew this, but most people don't. It's true. They have some unique position. It's taken me around 15 years to begin to like understand it. But anyway, and what I mean to say is, your background is Chinese. You're part of Asian culture. But really, if you could study it, like, and find out the source of all of those things, of the spiritual elements of Chinese culture, that's where you'd see it goes back to the original source, and it would also trace to Krishna conception. So it's a happy thing. Actually, you're doing a great service to your country by becoming Krishna conscious. And it's my hope the full transfer of Krishna consciousness will take place. All the wealth of our Guru Varga will be transferred to you. And as you said the other day, see, you can express Krishna consciousness in your own words, and you understand Chinese culture, the Chinese concept, heart, mind, etc. So what I'm asking you is to fully dedicate yourself and become fully acquainted with Krishna consciousness. That's why I will talk to you every day, answer your questions as best I can, so that you get a clear concept. So the Bhakti Lata beads, the seed, the beads is a conceptual seed. So you need to conceptualize properly. It will sprout and develop by association and spiritual practices. And then naturally you will extend it to others. That's the best thing. And it's a mystery, a wonder of Krishna consciousness that normally in the world, you know, if you have some wealth and you give that to other people, your own supply diminishes. But with the wealth of Krishna consciousness, the more you give it away to others, you find that your supply has increased. That's how Krishna, and you say, oh, he's a good distributor. Let's give him more to distribute. That principle here, if they gave their distributor a certain quantity of something, he already distributed that? Double it. Give him twice as much. Krishna consciousness works like that, except Krishna, his hand is infinite. He He gives you infinitely more. So you concentrate on grasping these concepts yourself perfectly and extending them to others. And you'll also find that by extending them to others, your own conception improves or clarifies. It's a very wonderful, mysterious thing. And you hear so many astonishing things here. I mean, we just talk about inconceivable stuff all the time. It's what we do. Every now and then we talk about things that are conceivable, if we have to. But most of the time, we're talking about things that are inconceivable, that transcend rationale, intellect, mind, etc. That's wonderful and nourishing. So we're reminded here, don't think that it's like, oh, it's some kind of exaggeration. What do I mean, 10 million cupids? I can hear Prabhupada saying, why only 10 million? Like, they're just giving you 10 million because beyond that, we don't, you know, like pi, 3.1456, you know, like at a certain point, it's inconceivable. So they go, 10 million cupids, how's that sound? Kandarpa koti kamani avishesha shobham. That Krishna is as beautiful and seductively charming as 10 million cupids personified as one. That piques the imagination. So we're told, don't think of it as imaginary, exaggeration, or imagination. And as I told you, if you can break through your acquired prejudice, like, you know who Aldous Huxley? And William Blake. And there was a group called the Doors. Let's get even more popular. Why did they call themselves the Doors? Because it was short for the Doors of Perception, which was something they got from Aldous Huxley and William Blake, this mystical Englishman. I've already said more than I should. But the point is, what are the doors of perception? Are the senses. We're back to the original point. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling. So what Blake said, by way of Huxley, he's saying, if the doors of perception were cleansed of all prejudice, misunderstanding, etc., then they would see the infinite. That's what he said. It's a very good thing that he said. And that's our point. Through spirit, we'll say, well, how can that happen? It's through association. So every day we submit to the association and service of God brothers and God sisters, Guru and Gauranga, engage in our spiritual practices, and some little glimpse of reality comes to us, a glimpse of the infinite. But a glimpse of the infinite is also infinite. That's what's beautiful. A drop of the infinite is infinite. Right? There's not a particular quantity you need. One drop. Haricharan Prabhu, who passed away this year, Guru Maharaj's longtime servitor, whenever he'd give a lecture, when they have the, you know, the holy days and all the moths meeting, he would give this one talk, and they would like, I've seen where they pull the rug when they want someone to stop speaking, they go like, so you feel it on your feet. I mean, it's funny to see the Vaishnavas behave, but that would be his cue. And he'd realize, oh, now I have to finish. And he'd always go, Ek Bindu Jagat Dubai. It's a famous statement from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, Ek Bindu means one drop of this divine substance. Jagat Dubai is sufficient to drown the entire universe in ecstasy, in ecstatic love. One drop. Ek Bindu Jagat Dubai. He'd finish and everyone would like, oh, Prabhu. I could hear that over and over. It was a great way to finish a talk because it like made everyone happy. Heard it 100 times and never grew to. I always liked that part of his lecture the best. And he would say it with such feeling. And it's a fact. One drop of this divine substance. Srimati Radharani, she says, Yadanucharita lila karna pirusha viprut satkriya danda viduta danda dharma vinashta sapadi viham kutam hinam utstrija bahava iha bhikkhu charjam charanti. In the Brahma Gita, Guru Maharaj's specialty, we can't even say anything about it. But we can say this one part that she says. Yadanucharita lila karna piyusha viprut. She's acting as if she's complaining, but she's saying, one drop of hearing about Krishna, when that drop of hearing the talks of Krishna goes through your ear and into your heart, you're finished. You're finished forever. You're finished with the world. One drop. It's so... Piyush means nectar. Piyush. Yadanucharita lila karna piyusha vipru, a drop of Krishna nectar, Krishna karnamritam, Krishna nectar for the ear. Remember, spiritual advanced people, they get everything from hearing. You will get this also, and by hearing the holy name, which will, as a side effect, free you from all your karma. A side effect. That's not a, we're not sitting here, you know, save me. I've done all kinds of bad things. Hare Krishna, Hare Jesus. I mean, I, you know, Hare Krishna. That's not good. It works, actually. You can use the holy name. That's, it's an offense. Where we don't do that. It will happen, but don't pay attention to that. Really, we want to serve the holy name. To offer ourselves in service to the holy name. That's the best thing. So you should read. Have we translated Search for Sri Krishna to Chinese? Put that on your list of things I gotta do today. Or just things I gotta do. Translate the Search for Sri Krishna. But you could translate this chapter called Service of the Holy Name. It's amazing. What are the effects of real holy name? It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sharanagati. It's wonderful. But so don't use the holy name as your servant to free you from sin or karma, those kind of things. That's not the principle. And the scriptures realize, these books possess inconceivable information in it. But Krishna can give you a glimpse and make it conceivable. Momentarily. That's all we pray for. Like lightning. Everything becomes illumined and then it's gone. I'm fascinated by lightning myself and thunderstorms, and I really like them. And I like to watch them outside. And I like when everything like lights up for a moment and then it like goes back to darkness. It's really astonishing. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Krishna illumination is like that. For a moment, you have a glimpse of the beauty of Krishna, the reality of all these things we're saying, and then it's like the world comes back in. Whereas T.S. Eliot says, human voices wake us and we drown, in his poem. So, it's something like that. Devotees are, they're happy with whatever Krishna wants to, how he treats them. We have no complaints to Krishna. So if he wants to reveal something of himself to you, he will. And nothing can stop that. But sometimes we're told he does not reveal himself because he knows your heart is capable of more love, more affection, more developed position. So he's kind of withholding himself too. And I think we've said enough. But the last thing is, Guru Maharaj gives an example. Some men are rowing a boat in the dead of night, sweating. These guys are really into it. And then the sun rises, and they see their boat hasn't gone anywhere because it's still tied to the dock. So the reason he gives this example is saying, you're going to be chanting the holy name of Krishna, you're studying, you're doing all these things. But if secretly or Falgu Vairagya Muchite Prapanchikataya Buddha Hari Sambandhi Basuna Mumukshubi Purityago Paurum Vairagya Muchite. If we have attachments, we understand that. But if there's like one particular mundane attachment that you allow to just keep you, you refuse to break that, it will obstruct your progress. Doesn't mean you want, you know, it's just something we have to deal with. It's different for everybody. Anyway, these are things we're told to consider. And we'll consider them from time to time as we try to make progress under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnavas. That is, after all, what this is. What you and I have been doing for the last week, that's what we have to continue doing. Is you reveal what you're thinking about, I try to advise you. That's the guru-disciple relationship. And you associate with your god-brothers and god-sisters. That's the process. And you try to do service. And I've seen all of these things in you. Your willingness to do seva and continue with association. And that's why, happily, on behalf of Srila Gurudev, Srila Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, Krishna, I'm extending the holy name of Krishna to you. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Govar Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Hey, Krishna. All right, hold your hands. So, first, before you chant on the Japa Mala, this is, you know, this is Tulsi Devi. You know who Tulsi Devi? That's Tulsi Devi, right? The plant. She's great devotee of Krishna and Vrajagopi. These are made from her. So we're, because she's a devotee of Krishna, again, devotee connection. Anyway, before chanting, you first chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. That you can write down, right? Then you begin chanting. See how these beads are larger? One side is larger and small. So you start on the large side and you hold the bead and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Until you reach the end, that's 108. That's one round. This bead is Sumeru, not to cross that. So then you turn around and you count back two rounds. And you should chant a minimum of four rounds every day. Right? Our grand, my grand guru, Srila Saraswati Thakur, used to say, Malika Upabhashna. This is the Malika, the Mala. He's saying, don't let it fast. You must give some food. And that means four rounds. You can chant more. You can chant 8, 16, 32, 64. But four you must chant. And give the, keep the association of God brothers and God sisters. And try to always serve the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. And your spiritual name will be Bhuvan Pavan Prabhu. Bhuvan Pavan, this means, Bhuvan means the world, Pavan means the purifier of all the worlds. Who purifies, just so behold, Ek Bindu Jagatubai, the holy name of Krishna, Krishna is the most purifying thing in all the world. You'll serve Krishna, speak about Krishna to others, take the holy name of Krishna, then you'll help purify the world. Live up to the name Bhuvan Pavan. Right? Bhuvan Pavan Prabhu Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So you were close in thinking of your own name. Bhuvan Pavan. Bhuvan.
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 Bhuvan. Bhuvan
Pavan.
Pavan. Yeah.
Bhuvan Pavan.
Correct. Hare Krishna. Now offer these things. First, some flowers. Just give a few of them, remember? Etat Pushpam Sri Gurave Namaha. He should try to say that.
Etat Pushpam Sri Gurave Namaha.
Good, you have a future in Sanskrit. Okay, offer the flowers. Jai Sri Guru Gauranga Jayata. Okay, and next, a tat sarvam.
Etat Savam. Sri Gurumai. Namaha.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Guru. Oops. Okay. Bhuvan Pavan Prabhu Ki Jai. I should give Shastanga Dandavat. You can give him this. Jai Bhuvan Pavan Prabhu Ki Jai. That's a name also given by Srila Guru Maharaj. And his name. Hare Krishna. And what I want for you to do now is to sit here and chant four rounds. And you're being welcomed into the family of Krishna. And all you have so many God brothers and God sisters. You can show some respect to them as well. But now, you just sit here and chant the holy name. Okay? I'm going to leave. Go upstairs. I just want him to start right away. Okay? Die. And we'll meet with him later and answer questions.